says, "Veyelchu echav leros son avihem b'shchem." The brothers went ostensibly to take care of the flock, but the Bereishis Rabba tells us that these words "estzon" has dots on top of them in order to show us that it wasn't sincere, that they were actually going to take care of themselves. And the Emes Liakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, comments that this was already an act of rebellion against the rule of Yosef that they were afraid of, that they went to go off shepherding without permission. There's Nayim Latorah comments, there's perhaps a certain irony here, in that we know that Jewish leaders are often tested through tzon, through how they take care of the tzon. And here we're seeing that the brothers' failure in this area is specifically set against the context of taking care of the tzon. The next pasuk tells us that Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef, Halo Achecha Roim Bishchem Lecha V'Yashlachecha Alehem Vayomer Lo Hineini. So here, Yaakov tells Yosef to go to his brothers, and in terms of what he was trying to accomplish here, the Rush comments on Pasuk Tezvav that he was trying to tell them that they should leave the place where they are because it was dangerous. And he sent his most beloved son Yosef in order to make that point, which seems like a surprising choice. The Rachaim comments that he thought that the brothers were in a situation of definite sakana, of definite danger, because of the people of Shechem and their history with them. And for Yosef, this would only be a suffix sakana, wouldn't be clearly dangerous. So therefore, he thought that was a safer move. So the next pasuk continues to tell us what he asks him to do. And we have a notion here that originally Yaakov accompanied Yosef down. And as the Chizkuni, the Dasakenim comment, he was fulfilling the mitzvah of Levaya, of walking along with somebody who's in a dangerous place in order to provide protection. And the Kafta Veferach quotes from a Talmud of the Ramban that he brought him down to the valley, and then Yosef said that you're older and you shouldn't make the effort, you shouldn't make this journey. And in this context, Yaakov was trying to teach Yosef the importance of this mitzvah of Levaya, and therefore he taught him about the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, as we know Chazal will tell us later on. And that's a mitzvah which reflects also the importance of protecting people. That's the process that takes place when we're concerned that somebody died because he wasn't taken care of in a dangerous place. So this idea that he was trying to convey this message of protection, some comment, as discussed in the Sefer Otzer Plos HaTorah, that's why Yaakov had such a hard time believing that Yosef was dead, because even though this was a dangerous place, he thought that he had covered this by instructing him and also by creating a situation of mitzvah. So this discussion of how exactly a mitzvah confers protection is a major theme here. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph that Shechem was a makom muchan l'peranius, was a place that had inherent danger in it, and the Torah Tumima comments that this is to address this question of why wasn't Yosef protected if he was fulfilling this mitzvah, this directive of his father. So then we should say shluchei mitzvah einu nizokin, that those who are pursuing a mitzvah mission have protection and aren't damaged. So there is an exception to that. The Gemara says that if the place is one in which there is inherent dangers, we call Shchiach Hezeka, so then Shliach Mitzvah is not necessarily protected. So the Torah Tumima explains that's why the Gemara was telling us that that is indeed the status of Shechem. Now, the Beis Halevi has a little bit of a different spin on this, where he suggests it wasn't necessarily about Shechem, but it was because Yaakov didn't tell Yosef to go to Dothan. So when he went over there, he was already deviating from the mission of his father, and that would bring up the question of how exactly the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em in this case is reflected. And that's a discussion about this in the Sefer Arukas HaBosam, a contemporary Sefer Al HaTorah, where he suggests that maybe his mission was Davka to save them from Shechem, and if he didn't find them there, he should have just come straight home. So one way or another, this does prompt the whole question of the difficult topic of understanding Shluchei Mitzvah in a Nizokin, because unfortunately, with Davaneinu Harav, we know so many people who have been involved in mitzvah missions and have nonetheless suffered harm. And there's much discussion as to how to understand exactly what the phrase tells us and what kind of protection it offers. So we know there is this exception of Shchiyah Chazeka, and that's a part of the puzzle. There is a discussion in the Achronim, in the Sefer Chavetel Sasharon. It's written by the brother-in-law of the Arugas Tzibosna, both contemporary Svarim al Torah. So he discusses the question of, is it that we assume that Shluchei Mitzvah means that there's an active protection to those who are involved in a mitzvos? Or perhaps, like the Mesilas Yesharim indicates, it doesn't necessarily mean that, but rather it means that the mitzvah itself won't be the cause of the hezek. So that's something to figure out. One could suggest that the Shluchei Mitzvah principle, having this exception of Shchiyah Chazeka, is reflective of either possibility. On the one hand, we know that there is a notion that Pikuach Nefesh exempts us from most mitzvahs. If there's a dangerous situation, so then we're not supposed to pursue the mitzvah. So that would already tell us that whatever protection is given to Shluchei Mitzvah is clearly not absolute, or there wouldn't be a reason to be exempt because of the sakana. So that already is an indication of how the principle works, that it doesn't necessarily mean there's absolutely no possibility of harm, but it's a protection that is effective among other factors. But if there's a greater danger, so then there wouldn't necessarily be a protection, and indeed the halacha would tell us not to go, not to pursue that mitzvah. Also, it could be relevant to the idea of the mitzvah not being the cause of the danger, at least after the fact, because it's not a heter in the first place to enter into sakana, so that we know. So the question is more, what does it tell us after the fact? So if we find that there was a danger, even though there was apparently a mitzvah involved, so then this may teach us that there was a sakana that wasn't necessarily evident. So it was a place of Shchiyah Chazeka, even if that wasn't necessarily perceived going in. So this is something that we find relevant to this whole story here and to the background, especially if we look in Pasuk Yud Zayin. So together with Chazal and Rashi, there's a very surprising dynamic here, because Yosef meets this Ish along the way, and the Ish says to him, "Vayomer Ish nasu mizeh ki shamati omrim nelcha dosaina vayilach Yosef acher achav vayimsein bedosan." So here, Chazal tell us a very shocking thing, that this idea that they went to Dosana, they went to Dosan. So Chazal tell us that this means that they went to judge you and to kill you, as Rashi explains. So that's very hard to understand why Yosef would go anyway, that if he told them straight out that they intend to kill him, so then that would seem to be a very difficult decision. It's evocative of a movie where there's foreboding music playing in the background, and you know that the main character is about to get into trouble, and you wonder, why doesn't he just hear the music and decide not to go? So is Yosef hearing the music here? Does he understand what's happening? He's being told directly that this is going to put his life in danger. So the Ramban explains that it doesn't mean that this man actually said this out loud, because if indeed that had been the case, so Yosef wouldn't have gone, but rather he said it beremiza, he hinted at it, and Yosef didn't pick it up. That's the Ramban's understanding, but Rashi and the Gemara in Sota and Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, where Chazal talk about this, it sounds like this actually was said directly to Yosef, and he should have understood it. So this is a whole discussion that some of the Sfarim have. Lubavitcher Rebbe had in his Sichos the question of whether one is entitled, even in a situation where one would be exempt because of sakana, to pursue a mitzvah like kibbutz in this case, even if there is a sakana, if one chooses to do so. Here it's still difficult, because Yosef, if he had actually been killed, wouldn't have been able to accomplish the mitzvah, to go back and to report to his father. So there's a lot to try to figure out about how exactly that would have worked, but Lubavitcher Rebbe suggests that that's what's at play here, the idea that one could voluntarily put themselves in a sakana in order to accomplish some great mitzvah goal, and he discusses this in the context of Chanukah as well, where he notes that this is the schus of Chanukah, quoting the Shlah, who draws the connection between this parsha and Chanukah, that the Chashmonaim Shem risked everything to go above and beyond, to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. This is what we see Bizman Hazeh also with the soldiers who risk everything in order to protect Klal Yisrael. And it was that religious passion that the Greek Stavka wanted to extinguish. Rav Soloveitchik has an essay about this whole section in a different direction, where he suggests that this reflects the unavoidable force of Jewish destiny, that here we know that what happened here was a crucial part of how history develops, and Yosef wasn't in a position to defy that. So as he approaches the brothers, so they devised this plan to kill him, which of course seems shocking. We're talking about tzaddikim here, the Shivtei Ka. So the Sfarno explains that they did have a consideration here that's understandable, because they thought that Yosef was a rodef. They thought that Yosef himself had plans against them and was trying to kill them, and they had to act defensively. So Yaakov Kamenetsky discusses this in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov, where he explains that this is not Lashon Hara about them, this is not disparaging about them. They honestly thought that he was indeed a Rodef and that they had to kill him, and that's why they accepted Yehuda's suggestion that they should put him in a pit, because they thought that that would prevent his pursuit of them, their Redifa. And he says it's also why all these years they didn't say where he was, because they were actually still afraid that Yosef would come back and kill them. And the Sforno, later on in Parak Membeis, comments that when they do confess and acknowledge guilt in this situation, it actually isn't because of the decision to take action against Yosef, but rather it was because of the achzarias, because of the cruelty in not responding to his cries. The Pasuk Chaf also talks in the plural sense about how they decide to kill him. The Arachaim has a comment here that they wanted to invoke the Ptur of 10 who kill as one, so no one has an independent Chiv, and they were thinking along those lines, which is also something that we find, for example, when the death penalty is imposed in certain societies. So sometimes when they have a firing squad, they have 10 shooting at once, and only one has a loaded gun, so that each one can feel, whether morally or intellectually or psychologically, that they weren't the one who actually pulled the trigger, the one who actually killed him. And it seems that that mentality was active here as well. There is also much to understand hashgafically about Pasuk Chaf Aleph, very significant Pasuk here, Vayishma Ruvain v'yatzilehu mi'adam, v'yomer lo nakenu nafesh. So Ruvain saved them. So how exactly did Ruvain save them, that here he's thrown into a pit, and the pit has snakes and scorpions, as the Zohar comments, and here, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that if somebody falls into such a pit, so then one can testify that his wife can remarry, that he's dead, because it's so definitely dangerous. So how exactly is this called a saving? So there is a discussion here in the Mefarshim that at least he's better off there than in the hands of his enemies, which is a major discussion about whether there is a difference in terms of sakana when dealing with people who choose to hurt you, Balei Bechira, and others, animals, other types of danger where we don't necessarily deal with Balei Bechira. So there's a discussion about this in the Or HaChaim and elsewhere. And it's a difficult idea to understand, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can protect from any kind of sakana. So the implication here that there is a greater challenge, so to speak, for a person, a Baal Bechira, and that that creates a different level of sakana. So perhaps it has to do with the level of nes that is involved, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to overcome a human being's Bechira. So that requires a greater nes. And in general, we have the principle of in somchana ha-nes. That's why, as we see throughout the course of this war, so we do all kinds of methods of hishtadlus in order to try to give the opportunity for a hatzala to come that's not in a form of a nes nigla. And that's what we see here also, that when dealing with a sakana that doesn't involve Baal Bechira, so then it's a different level, and perhaps that itself is relevant. So this notion of Reuven being credited with the Hatzala of Yosef, which seems like somewhat of an overstatement. So the Tshuvas HaRashba has a comment here based on the Medrash Rabba in Rus, that the Medrash commented about Reuven and about other figures in Tanakh, that on a similar vein, that regarding Reuven, it says that if Reuven had known that the Torah would ultimately write about what he did that day, so then he would have done much more. He would have put Yosef on his shoulders and carried his home. And you see the power of such publicity. So the Rashba writes in his Truvis that you see from here that mefarsim osei mitzvah, that we should publicize those who do mitzvos, and because we see the Torah did it also, and this is what the Medrash is pointing out, so therefore that's appropriate for us as well. And this Rashba is quoted all the time when you see dedications in Svarim or in Shuls to people who contributed. So very often they invoke this tshuva of the Rashba, that mitzvah lefarsim osei mitzvah, that it's appropriate to publicize those who do mitzvos. So the implication here about Reuven, the Yifei Torah comments in the Medrash, are we trying to say that he and the others that are referenced there were really rodfei kavod, that they're all in it for the honor? And that's what the motivating factor could have been. So Yaakov Kamenetsky comments about that, that it's not necessarily to say that that was their intention, but rather just to recognize the fact that they didn't have an understanding of the historical impact. Reuven, in this case, didn't have an understanding of the historical impact of what's going on. So this is brought l'halacha, the Ramah, in Yeridaya, in Reish Mem Tes, Yud Gimel, writes that somebody who wants to put his name on his dedication, when somebody donates something to tzedakah and he wants his name to be on it, so then that's appropriate, perhaps, certainly okay, and the tzibor can't stop him. It could be that there is an element here also that connects this to this theme as we approach Hanukkah. We know the notion of Pirsumei Nisa, that we want to publicize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nisim for Klal Yisrael, and maybe there is also a notion of Halach Debedrachav, that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions on behalf of Klal Yisrael, on behalf of the world, inspire action on our part and inspire hope, and so too, perhaps when dealing with human beings, so we also look to their actions, and we are mefasim them because they inspire others to act, and they also inspire others to hope. So here we are at a time in history when we need inspiration and we need hope and we need to be motivated to follow the model of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of human beings who do great things on behalf of others. And as Hanukkah teaches us the importance of Pirsumei Nisa, which Rav Soloveitchik understood as a type of tefillah, because we want more Nisim, because we want more actions such as that, whether from HaKadosh Baruch Hu or from his agents on earth. So this theme is very much on our minds, and we hope that indeed we will find inspiration and hope in great actions, and even actions that seem to be much smaller, but are at least heading in a positive direction.